We begin the current daf, Masechta Baba Basra, daf Tzadi Hei. We begin on the fourth line down from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is the Gemara had introduced a halacha from Rav Huna, which related to the halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that when the person purchases tvua, let's say a sov tvua, he assumes and he accepts that up to a quarter of a kav of tinaifas of filth, which we explain in the Braisa, whether that means legumes, some type of a bean, or it means literally earth that gets mixed in, it's acceptable, it's normal, and therefore he's meichlet and it's part of the sale. If it's more than a quarter of a kav per saw, that's unacceptable, and then that will be invalid, and he'll have to get compensated with either money or with wheat. Now, that Rav Huna explained that if it's more than a quarter of a kav, we don't just diminish it to a quarter of a kav that he's meichel, and then that he accepts, and only what's beyond that he gets compensated for. But once he's sifting out, because it's already more than a quarter of a kav, he gets to sift all of that filth out, and he has to get everything compensated back to be the sov wheat. On that, there was two versions in Rav Huna. Some say that that's according to the basic halacha, because truthfully, when you pay for a sov wheat, you expect the sov wheat. Now, it's just that it's not worth it for him to sift out if it's a quarter kav or less of filth inside. But once it's more, and anyways, he has to pick through that. So once he's starting, he can then go through the whole thing and get what he rightfully deserves, which is a sov wheat. The other version of Huna was that, no, actually a person is meichli accepts and he expects even more than a quarter of a kav of filth. And really, it should be acceptable even more than that. But we penalize the seller in that situation where we're like, wait a second, why is there so much filth in there? It's very likely that the seller added in so that he should be able to fraud the buyer and not give him as much wheat as really he deserves. So once it's more than that, so then we penalize him the whole thing, because then we could already assume if there's so much filth that he had put in all this filth and therefore he has to compensate him all of that filth and give him instead the full amount of a sov wheat. Those are the two different versions of Huna. And the Gemara, beginning on the previous daf, continuing on this daf, was bringing proofs for or against either one of these two versions of Rav Huna. So that's where Gemara continues and says, Toshma, let's bring a raya to Rav Huna's halacha from the following braisa. The braisa qualifies ha'ina regarding fraud. That is, if someone is selling an item to somebody and he charges incorrectly for the value of the object. So the braisa qualifies three different categories. Pachis mishtos, if the differential, the error of the price, is less than the sixth of a difference, so then nikna mekach, so then that's totally a valid sale, and the one who got frauded doesn't get compensated at all, because it's mechila. Again, the margin of error is up to a sixth, and there's no compensation. Yes mishtos, botla mekach. If the error is more than a sixth, so then the sale is totally invalid, and he gets his money back. Shtos, if it's exactly a sixth, then kana, then the sale has been acquired by the buyer. Umachzorina, but the whoever frauded the other party by that sixth has to give back that error, that fraud of a sixth. As Rashbam points out, this price is going like Reb Nosson, but according to Behuda HaNasi, as it's brought in Paragazov, he says that actually the frauded party could tell the one who frauded him, either he could tell him, give me my money, or at least give me what I was frauded. But this is a version according to Reb Nosson. So those are the three different categories. On that, asks the Gemara, Amai, why is it that when the fraud is by a sixth or more than a sixth, that we say that the one who frauded has to give back the entire fraud, the entire difference of the actual value to what was overcharged, let's say, but lehader, it should only have to give back the excess ad pachis mishtos until it's less than a sixth. Because as we said before, when someone overcharges or undercharges less than a sixth, the other party, the victim, is meichel. And there is no aina of a shtos or more than a shtos, only that little bit, or that little bit more than a little bit. Because what's less than that, meaning less than a sixth, is actually meichel. So obviously, says the Gemara, that Shema Mena, you can infer like Rav Huna, to kol heicha debay laduri, but whatever you have to give back, once you have to start giving back because it's more than a sixth, that kula mahadur, you have to give it all back. And therefore, that's exactly Rav Huna's halacha, that if, let's say, you're coming to sift out the filth because it's more than a quarter of a kav, then you sift it all out, not just to what's a quarter of a kav, and then that is going to be batel, and that including the sale, that no, you sift it all out. That's exactly Rav Huna's halacha. The Gemara says, like the other proofs from the previous daf, Hachi Hashta, can you compare the cases? It's not the same. Hasam mikara shav b'shava amalei. There, originally, in the case of whatever the item was being sold that there was a price for it on, originally the seller told to the consumer that I'm willing to sell it for this amount of money, for this amount of price. Now, if it's not that value, then either party is saying, I'm not willing for this. So therefore, there, according to the basic halacha, the truth is, even if the price for it is less than the sixth, he should have to give it back. Now, miyu, however, the reason why, when it's less than the sixth, you don't give it back and it's a valid sale, is because pachas mishtos lo yediyah b'manah. When the price difference is less than the sixth, it's not so recognizable in the money, and therefore that's almost the equivalent of being the same value of how much each party was willing to make the transaction for. And therefore, machal inish, and therefore people are forgiving about it. Now, shtos, yediya. However, when we said, but if the price difference of the fraud is a sixth, well, that's recognizable, v'loy machal inish, and there people are not forgiving about it. And moreover, yesim shtos, when the fraud is more than a sixth, then we said, mekechtayis u'batal mekech, well, that's totally a fraud, that's invalid, it's an erroneous transaction, and there this transaction is void. That's the understanding for that halacha of enough in that brisa. In contrast to Rav Huna's halacha regarding peiros, where it's normative that there should be filth over there, not like the case of Aino, no, it shouldn't be any difference. It should be exactly according to the value of this object that I'm buying. So in contrast by peiros, where, yeah, as we said in the previous daf, it makes sense that there should be some filth inside these wheat, there for sure we could say that there is a mechila. And therefore, even when we find more than a quarter of a kav of filth, but at least what's up till a quarter of a kav, there is a mechila, and therefore there's no proof to Rav Huna. Maybe in Rav Huna's case, we would say not like him, and that you would only diminish it up till what a quarter of a kav is, and the rest is mechila. Hereby, no, the reason why we say that when there's more than a sixth, then everything he has to give back, is because in truth, really, there shouldn't be any deviation. It's just that since it's not recognizable, so it's mechila, but once it's more than that, and therefore there's no mechila, so then he has to give him back everything. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a proof. Toshima, the Gemara says, let's bring a raya from the following brisa, like Rav Huna's halacha. We're talking about a worker, hamakabel, that accepts upon himself for payment for on sade michaver elita, on his friend's field, to plant it with trees. For example, according to the appropriate halachas of plantation, which generally is a planting of 10 trees per every beisa. So that says the brisa, harizim makabel alav. So then in that situation, the owner of the field accepts upon himself, similar to the halacha of our mission of the previous daf, esa burius lemeya. He accepts upon himself that if there are going to be 10 barren trees out of the 100 that will not produce fruit, that then the makabel, the person that he hired to work on the field, does not have to replant other trees in place of them, because it's very normal that there should be a certain amount of barren trees, and it's that proportion that the owner of the field is meichel, that he's forgiving. But if yoyse mikan, but if it's more than that proportion of that ratio of, let's say it's 11 trees for every 100, then says the price of, then megalgin love esakol. Then we actually now place it all on the worker now, and now he has to actually replant all those 11 trees in place of those 11 trees that were barren. Because in that situation, there's no mechila, because it's not expected to be more than 10, and now it's 11. So maybe says the Gemara, the same thing is in Rav Huna's case. Once it's more than a quarter kava filth, he's coming to sift it out, and he sifts out the whole thing, because it's already over the limit, which is exactly like Rav Huna. And that says the Gemara, Am Rav Huna, Bered of Yeshua, he says, no, it's not a riot Rav Huna. Because kol yeser mikan, in this situation, whenever you have more than a 10 to every 100 that are barren trees, there, the halacha is that we're not going to have him just replant what is more than that ratio of 10 per 100 only, because actually, whatever is included when he's coming to replant, it's kebalita mitchiladami. It's like as if right now he's coming to plant a whole new field. And the reason for that is because there's a lot of land over here that he has to go ahead and plant. So, because it's an area of 11 trees. That's already like its own distinct area of like its own field. So it's almost as if originally he didn't do any of his work that he had accepted originally to do, to plant trees in the field, because he accepted to plant trees in the field. And there's still now more than 10 barren trees that he has to plant, which is almost it's the proportion of like a distinct area of the field itself. So therefore, when like the homeowner tells him, I want you to plant for me this field, then he has to go ahead and plant the whole field, and that's what he's telling him. So in this situation, when there's 11 barren trees, he didn't fulfill a stipulation. So it's almost as if right now, he's coming to plant a whole brand new field, which the obligation is to plant all the trees in the field, because he's coming now to fulfill the original stipulation of planting the trees in the field. But if he's going to plant just one tree, he hasn't done anything, because that means the majority of the field is still barren, that's not planted. Now, however, if he only left over that there were 10 barren trees to the 100, that we say that the owner of the field is not so particular with that few amount of trees that are barren. And from the fact, but when there's 11 trees per 100, where then it's fit to be called its own field, that's already considered something distinct, and there the owner of the field would not be meichel. So that's the understanding for that halacha. But regarding having filth that's more than a quarter of a kav per saw, where there, as we explained in the previous daf, a quarter of a kav is common, and therefore the owner in all situations is meichel on that, meaning the consumer. And therefore, even when we could say, even when there's more than a quarter of a kav of filth, that it's only what's beyond that that he has to compensate him, but the quarter of a kav itself, he's meichel. Because there you can't say, like we're saying over here, that, oh, whatever is more than a quarter of a kav, then it's almost like as if when he's coming to now originally give him the saw of wheat, because it's not true. Because he sold him a saw of wheat with a quarter of a kav of filth. And therefore, when he compensates him whatever is more than the quarter of a kav of filth, he has fulfilled his obligation of the sale and fulfilled the stipulations, which is not similar to the case we bring over here from the karka, which is considered as if it's its own distinct field. Because 11 barren trees is a recognizable amount of area to the eyes, and it's like almost a field in itself, and that the owner of the field is not meichel. But more than the quarter of a kav of filth, which is a movable thing, that is not so particular. Rather, all he has to do is fulfill a stipulation, which I would tell you, not like Rafuna, that you don't sift out the whole thing. You only sift out to what's a quarter of a kav, and then you already fulfilled the obligation, because a quarter of a kav is common and acceptable, and therefore there's no raya to Rafuna. So the Gemara concludes, neither refuting nor supporting the two different versions of Rafuna's halacha regarding when you're sifting, because it's more than a quarter of a kav, that you sift the whole thing, whether because of the actual din or because of a knas. Now the Gemara continues with the next halacha in the Mishnah, that marativ shel yayin v'chulu. If someone says that I'm going to sell you a cellar of wine, or a bunch of barrels in that cellar, so for every 100, he accepts 10 that they're going to be soured. Now, that the Gemara asks, hey chidami, what exactly is the case of our Mishnah that spoke about when he's selling him a cellar of wine that he accepts upon himself a certain amount that was soured, which sounds like that we're talking about when someone's selling a cellar of wine, but the only problem is we don't know exactly what is the terminology that the seller tells to the consumer at the time of the sale, as the Gemara explains. Ida amalei, if the words that the seller told to the consumer are unspecified, all he said was, martiv shel yayin stam. He didn't say this cellar of wine. He says, I'm going to sell you a cellar of wine. If that's the case of the Mishnah, then Kasha, then as we'll see later on from a brisa that the Gemara is going to bring, it's difficult because in that brisa we taught that if someone says, I'm going to sell you a cellar of wine, he has to give him all the barrels that are totally good wine, in contrast to our Mishnah that said that no, the consumer has to accept upon himself 10 soured barrels out of 100. And Ida Amalei Martiv Zeh Shel Yayin, and if he said, okay, different case that Mishnah is talking about, where he says, I'm going to sell you this cellar of wine, so Kasha, that's also difficult from that price we're going to bring later on, which that teaches that actually in such a case, that he actually could give him like wine that's sold in the store, which are all sour types, and not just 10 out of the 100. And Ida Amalei Martiv Zeh, if he says a different terminology, to explain the halacha of our Mishnah, that he doesn't use the term wine. All he says is that this cellar I'm going to sell you, well then kasha, that's also difficult from a brisa later on, which teaches actually if it's totally like vinegar ready, that is going to be considered a valid sale. Which again is not like our Mishnah, which said that no, 90 out of the 100 barrels have to be good, 10 of them could be soured, but not vinegar. So how do we know what's the case of our Mishnah? The time like learn the brisa. That illustrates these three cases, that neither one of them are like the halacha of our Mishnah. The Braisa says, if the seller tells to the consumer, Martiv shel yayin ani meichelach, I'm selling you a cellar of wine. So the halacha says the Braisa is, Neisen le yayin shekuli yafa. All the wine that he has to give him has to be good wine. Because generally when you're selling wine, you mean good quality wine. And the consumer is not accepting that 10 of the barrels should be soured. Now why is that? Why is it any different than the halacha of our Mishnah, which we taught that there could be a quarter of a kav of filth for every saw of wheat, and the consumer accepts 10 wormy figs out of the 100 figs? The reason for that is because those items are not so chashuv, and it's also common for them to be wormy or have filth, and therefore the consumer's meichel. But by barrel of wine, first of all, it's a very big thing. Every barrel in its own right is considered a chashuv thing. Moreover, it's not so common for wine to be soured, and therefore when someone sells unspecified wine, he means high, good quality wine without any imperfections. So that has to be kulei yafa. Let's say Martiv Zeh Shel Yayin Ani Meichelach. Let's say he says, this cellar of wine, I'm selling you, So then, noisin lo yain hanimker bechanus. Then they could even sell him the type of wine that's sold in the store, which is, as the Gemara will be obvious later on, that's what's kulei kaisis. They're all the barrels are like souring basically already. And the reason why we say this is because since he said zeh, this cellar of wine, makes it sound like as is, which is even if they're souring already, which is only like what you could sell in the store that people are going to drink in the next few days, because beyond that, it's going to be totally ruined. Now, Martav Zani Meichelach, let's say he tells him, this cellar I'm selling to you, doesn't use the word even of wine, which sounds like it could even be barrel of vinegar, then even if all the barrels are totally vinegar, it's going to be a valid sale. So either way, ask the Gemara, we don't find, what would be the case conceptualization of our Mishnah, where that 10 out of the 100 could be kaisersized, could be souring, but the rest have to be good. What type of case? Neither one of these are like the cases of the Braisa. Says the Gemara, La'ilam, the truth is that the case of the Mishnah is the Amalei Martav Shal Yayin Stam, where he just tells him, I'm going to sell you a cellar of wine. And he doesn't say this cellar of wine. So therefore, like we learned in the Braisa, has to be totally good wine. When you say wine, you mean good wine. Yet still, the consumer accepts upon himself that 10 out of the 100 are kaisersites if they're souring, that it's part of the sale. The reason for that is because that is common to happen, and therefore he is Michael. Now, but then this that we had asked from the Braisa that said that same exact case and said that no, he has to give him yain shekula yafa, wine that's totally good without any exceptions. And that says the Gemara, but tani bereisha the Braisa, you have to amend in the reisha of the Braisa and read it that yes, like the words of the Braisa say, that he has to give him yain shekula yafa, but you have to add on the words, which is how we explain the halacha of our Mishnah, umakabal love eser kaisus lameya. But the consumer does accept that 10 out of the 100 could be souring, which again is like the halacha of the Mishnah, without saying the word zeh. Now, that the Gemara asks, so the way we explain the halacha of the Mishnah, ubistam mi makabal, is that really so that if, let's say, he just sells a cellar of wine, that then the consumer accepts upon himself that 10 out of the 100 barrels will be souring, the way we explain the halacha of the Mishnah? But Vatani Reb Chiya taught a Braisa as follows. The Braisa says, Hamoichu chavis yain l'chaveir. If someone sells a barrel of wine to his friend, now, as Rashbam explains, here he's talking about not a cellar, but only a barrel. And the reason of using the case of a barrel, which is singular, is a chiddush. Because you would think to say, okay, if someone's selling a barrel, that means to say he wants to drink it right away or to sell it, but not to store it for a long time. And therefore you would think he could sell him like souring type of wine, because souring doesn't mean like vinegar. It's just, it's going to turn any day, but it's not a problem because it's only one barrel. He's going to drink it today or tomorrow. On that, still Reb Chiya teaches that no, noisin lo yayin shekula yafa. He has to give him wine that's totally good and it can't be souring. Now that the Gemara is asking from the Braisa Reb Chiya, but if it's so, like we said, that the consumer accepts 10 out of the 100 that are souring, say Rosa, we should say the same thing. That even if it's souring wine, he has to accept that there is such a concept that there could be souring. If all of them are souring, 100 barrels, that doesn't make sense. But the possibility, the likelihood that they're souring, he accepts upon himself. Even if you just say stam without specifying, so why is the case of a barrel any different? There also, it's very likely, it could happen, not very likely, but there's a probability. And therefore, why should he not accept that it could be souring? Why does it have to be yain shekula yafa? The Gemara says, no, Shani Chavis, the case of a singular barrel is different. The Kulachat Chamru, that's all one wine. One barrel of wine, you're expecting that it's going to be good wine. In contrast, when the guy is selling a whole cellar of wine, when there's many barrels, okay, I don't expect all 100 to be great. 10 out of the 100, I expect that they could be souring. But one barrel, that doesn't contradict from the Halacha Reb Chiya. One barrel, you expect that it's going to be good and not souring wine. That's why there has to be Yain Shekula Yafa, even though you just said Stam Chavis. The Gemara still asks, but Vatani Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid had taught a Braisa, B'deber B'ishi and Yeshiva B'ishi as follows. Martiv shel yain ani meichelach. If the seller tells to the consumer that a seller of wine I'm selling you, says Rav Zvid's Braisa, Nishn le'yayin shekula yafa, he has to give him wine that's totally good. Totally good wine. Let's say Martiv zeh shel yain ani meichelach. Let's say he tells him, this seller of wine I'm selling you. So noisin lo yayin shekula yafa. Then again, he has to give him all wine that's totally good. But a makabel love eser kaisus lameya. But if he said this cellar of wine adds on the word zeh, okay, then the consumer accepts that okay, 10 out of the 100 might not be good. That there could be that proportion of souring wine. Moreover, continues the Braisa as we continue Tamid Beis, v'zehu aitzer shoshana chacham b'mishnah seinu. That's the case of the storehouse which our Chacham taught in our Mishnah, in other words, the case of Martif that we spoke about in our Mishnah when he's selling him a seller of wine, that's the case where we spoke about that the halacha is going to be that the consumer accepts a 1/10 of it being soured. So obviously, as the Gemara, so we see that the halacha of a Mishnah of Martif from this Brisa of Razvid is talking about when he says, this Martif zeshel yayin I'm selling, and not when you didn't use the word zeh, when you just sold unspecified. Now, so, and what we see from the Brisa of Zid is that the reason why that halacha is as follows is because when he says Martiv shal yayin, when he says of wine, wine usually means good wine. But since he adds on the word zeh means as is, this one as is, which comes to include souring. So, what is it, good wine or souring? So that's what the whole sentence of Martiv zeh shal yayin in the Meichela comes to tell you. Yeah, it's a serial of wine, which are good wine, but the word zeh comes to say, okay, but there is a little bit of as-is element, which is 10 out of the 100 that you're accepting. But one thing that we see is that obviously the halacha of a Mishnah is not the way the Gemara had explained that it's somewhat stam. It must be talking about a case of zeh. So the Gemara says, Eli, you're right. So rather, mesnitin namidamalei zeh. So obviously we have to say that as we see in the Brisa of Azir, which actually clarifies for us, that it must be talking about a case when he says, Martiv zeh shel yayin emeichelach, where there is where the consumer accepts upon himself 10 out of the 100 barrels, that if they're souring, it's a valid sale. Now, so although now we explain the halacha of a Mishnah based on the Brisa of Azir, but says the Gemara, but now kasha zeh azeh. But now we have a contradiction of what is the halacha in that case of zeh. Because, and that's why we had originally the question, we have a contradiction between the previous Brisa and Rav Zvid's Brisa. Because the first Brisa that we quoted said, when he says, Martiv zeh shel yayin, that I'm selling you this seller of wine, the first Brisa said he could give him what's called yayin hanimka bechanos, wine that's sold in the store, meaning that all of it is souring. Yet here in Rav Zvid, he talks about the same exact case, and he says that no, it has to be all good wine, but just that he accepts 10 out of the 100 barrels to be souring. So what's the halacha? I think Gemara says, Lekasha, it's not a difficult, it's not a contradiction, those two brises. Hada amalei lemikpa. One of the brises is talking about when he said, I'm selling you the wine for cooking. Vahada lo amalei lemikpa. And the other one is where he didn't say, I'm selling you the wine for cooking. As the Gemara explains, Rav Zvid, the brisa of Rav Zvid, is the amalei lemikpa, is where the seller told the consumer, I'm selling it to you that the wine for a purpose, that you could use it for cooking to make your food better. That's what I'm selling it to you for. Now that connotes high, good, quality wine that could last for a long time. The reason for that is because wine that you use for cooking, you use a little bit at a time. And therefore, by using the terminology of lemikba, he's designating that it has to be good wine. When he says the term zeh, okay, so that takes away a little bit from that because it's saying as is. That tells you that, okay, 10 out of 100 could be kaisis. That was exactly how Zvid said his halacha. In contrast, Brisa, but that first Brisa that said that no, he, in that case, he could sell him, he could give him wine that's sold in the stores, which all of it is souring, that's the loy omalei lemikpa. That's because he didn't tell him that I'm selling it to you wine for cooking. So therefore, since he didn't tell him lemikpa, and he said zeh as is, that's wine that could even be sold in the stores, because although he said shel yayin, which we thought originally in the Gemara that connotes high quality wine, no, shel yayin only is coming to exclude that it can't be vinegar, it has to be wine. Now, however, the resha of that first brisa, which spoke about a case of Martiv shel yayin stam ani moichelach, when he just sells him not with the word zeh, he says, a seller of wine I'm selling you, that there the brisa said that he has to give him wine that's totally good, that actually is going to be a machlokes later on in the Gemara, if that's just like this case, where he didn't tell him lemikpa, and still he has to give him high quality wine, or actually it's only when he says lemikpa, and he didn't say zeh, that's when he has to give him high quality wine. That the Gemara is going to explain later on. But one thing the Gemara says, so the Gemara resolved that contradiction between when you say Martiv zeh shel yayin in the Meichelach, between the Brisa of Zvid and the first Brisa, where yes, although our Mishnah's halacha is like we see in the Brisa of Rav Zvid, which is only 10 out of the 100 are kaisesais, not like the first Brisa is, because the first Brisa is talking about where he didn't say lemikpa, whereas our Mishnah and Rav Zvid's Brisa is talking about where he said, besides saying that Martiv zeh shel yayin in the Meichelach, he said, I'm selling it to you for cooking purposes. Which that tells us is high quality, just zeh says 10 out of the 100 could be kaisesais. So, Hilkach, therefore, concludes the Gemara explaining this opinion of Rav Zvid as follows. Martiv shel yayin v'amalei lemikpa, if the seller says, I'm selling you a seller of wine. Moreover, I'm selling you wine that's for cooking, which that tells us it has to be high quality because it's got to last for a long time. So then the halacha is, he's got to give him all high quality wine, because he said cooking wine, which is high quality, and he didn't use the term zeh, didn't diminish any of it. Martiv zeh shal yain va'omale lemikbah, if he tells him, this seller of wine I'm selling you, and additionally he says, but it's for cooking wine. So nois no yain shekula yafeh, he's got to give him all high quality wine, because he said it's for cooking, but as we explained before, umakabalav eser kaisers lameya. He accepts upon himself, but that 10 out of the 100 barrels could be souring wine. Again, that's like Rav Zvid had said, by the case of Martiv Zeh Shel Yain, which we explained, is Toma when he says lamikba, it's for cooking, where there it doesn't make a difference. If he says Martiv Zeh Ani Meichelach or Martiv Zeh Shel Yain Ani Meichelach, you don't have to use the word Shel Yain if you're using the term lamikba. Because lamikba for cooking tells us that you're talking about good wine, because they didn't usually use for cooking anything besides good wine. Because as Rashbam explains, even if you're going to say that they would use for cooking also vinegar, which is, so lamikba maybe means vinegar, even so, it doesn't make sense to say that when he's selling him a cellar for cooking, that it means because of vinegar. The reason for that is because every vinegar lasts, and actually gets more vinegar as time goes on, and therefore he actually should have said that I'm selling you a cellar of vinegar. And therefore, if he's selling Martz Lemikpa, where he's coming to connote something that will last, obviously he's talking about wine, and actually high quality wine. Now, that's why in the Braisa of Razvid, it didn't talk about the halacha of saying Martiv Zani Moichalach, that this cellar I'm selling you, which the first Braisa did speak about such a case, and the reason for that is because since we're explaining the Braisa of Azvid is talking about when he's selling specifically lemikva for cooking, so that's why we spoke about a case of Martiv Zeh Shel Yain Ani Meichelach, which the same thing would apply to Martiv Zeh Ani Meichelach, because as we said, we don't have to say a case of when you don't say Shel Yain, which the first Braisa said, oh, you didn't say Shel Yain, it means vinegar, because no, to the contrary, since we're saying lemikva, which has to mean wine and not vinegar, that's why Rav Zvid's Braisa didn't have to talk about that case. Now, so why then in the case did he say Shel Yain? That's just an additional chiddush, because even when he says Shel Yain and he said lemikpa, even so, since you said the word zeh, you're accepting that 10 out of the 100 could be kaisers, could be souring. Moreover, continues the Gemara, Martiv zeh Shel Yain v'loy omale lemikpa. Let's say he tells him that this seller of wine I'm selling you, and he doesn't say that he's selling it for cooking purposes, then he actually could give him wine that's sold in the store, which this is going back on, the Gemara is putting together these two brises, going back on the first brise, which as we said before, the ratio of that brise is a machlokes that we'll explain later on. But the safe of that brise said, Martiv zani moichelach, I'm selling you this cellar. So the brise said that even if all of it became vinegary, it's going to be a valid sale, which we said, where it's not talking about when he said lemikpa, in the case of when he says Martiv zeh shel yayin, and he didn't say lemikpa, then it could even be wine that's totally souring, which is like the wine that's sold in the store. Now the Gemara continues and asks as follows. Ibaylu, the following question. Martiv shel yain. Let's say the seller tells to the buyer, a seller of wine. That's all he says. He doesn't say this seller of wine. A seller of wine. V'loy omle lemikpa. And he doesn't tell him that he's selling it to him for cooking purposes. My, what would the halacha be? What's the question? The reason is because this case has what's called chadal litivusa v'chadal reisa. One thing working positive and one thing working negative. In other words, the question is, do we compare this to the case of Martiv zeh shel yain? When he says, this seller of wine I'm selling you, and he also tells him that I'm selling it to you lemikba for cooking purposes. Because we taught in the Braisa of Rav Zvid that in such a situation, he has to give him all good wine, but 10 out of the 100 he accepts to be kaisesais. Now, just like over there, you have what's called chadal reisa, so one thing taking away from the quality of the wine, because he said Martiv zeh. Martiv zeh means this, meaning as is, meaning even if it's not, even if it's inferior. But there's also chadal litivusa, one thing working towards that it has to be quality wine, because he said lemikba, which is for cooking purposes. And there we see that when he says one pro, one con, that then it's somewhere in the middle. So here also, you have similarly the same variables. You have chadal litivusa, because he said martiv shel yain, instead of seller of wine, and he did not use the word zeh, so he didn't say as is, which would seem to connote that it should be high quality. But there's also chadal reisa, there's also something detracting from the quality, because he didn't say lemikba. He didn't say that it should be for cooking. So maybe it's the same halacha, and it'll be 10 out of the 100 that could be kaisis, but the rest have to be high quality. Or maybe this is the Gemara's question, and this situation has to give him all high quality wine. And the reason for that is because since he didn't say zeh, he didn't say as is. Now, although he didn't say lemikpa, so that sounds like maybe that should take away a little bit, which it's like a person is selling wine. The reason why you're not going to say that that takes away is because generally when someone sells wine, it's for cooking purposes, meaning that it shall last a long time and not to be sold as it is in the store. And also that it shouldn't be souring a little bit at all. And the reason for that is because wine is not the same like figs that we expect some worminess, and neither is like grain that we expect that there's some filth in there, because every barrel of wine is its own distinct and chash of a thing, and the person's particular, and therefore maybe even though he didn't say lemik, but we expect high quality because he didn't say zeh, and maybe here actually it would be more stringent than the previous case, and we don't consider it chod l'reisa. Now, Rashbam explains that the one who was asking this question, the Gemara, knew that we could be medayik from the different brises that were mentioned before. For example, let's say from the first brisa that it should be totally good wine. And he also knew that from the brisa of the Zvid that you could infer that no, that you should accept that some of the barrels should be kaisesis, as the Gemara is going to actually explain soon. But the question of the Gemara was that do we infer from the first brisa that he's not accepting it has to be all good wine? And because the reason is, like we explained, that you expect when you don't say zeh, even though you didn't say lemikba, it should all be high quality wine because wine is different than other products. And although the brisa of a zvid seems to indicate otherwise, that you could explain as the Gemara will explain. Or maybe to the contrary, we would be medayik from the brisa of a zvid that he does accept 10 out of the 100 should not be good. As we explained, the reason for that is because you have chad l'reisa, and the other brisa you could explain as we said. So in other words, the question is, do we consider it chad l'tivus or chad l'reisa, or do we consider it only l'tivus and it has to be all high quality wine? So says the Gemara, pligi baravach revin, that's machlekes amaram, chad amar mekabel. One of them says that he does accept that 10 of 100 will be souring. It's because he holds like we explained before, because it's considered chad l'tivus or chad l'reisa. V'chad amar mekabel, the other pinhole said, no, he doesn't accept. Rather, the seller has to give him all high quality wine. As we explained, the reason is because generally a person is particular about a barrel of wine that it shouldn't sour more than figs that get wormy and regarding the grain that has some filth. And therefore he expects that it should all be good because he didn't say zeh, he didn't say anything as is. So you expect high quality wine even when you didn't say lemikpa. Now the Gemara now explains and says that manda amar mekabel, the one who says that he does accept 10 out of 100 to be soured, daik midrav zvid. He infers from the brisa of Rav Zvid. In other words, it's because he holds of the logic that he is accepting, that's why he explains that the inference of Rav Zvid's brisa is primary, and then he explains that the first brisa, he'll resolve it in a different way, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, because although you could be medayik from the first brisa that he's not makabel, and then resolve the brisa of Rav Zvid otherwise, as we'll say later on, even so, he doesn't prefer to say that because he's going after his logic, as we explain, and therefore he'll explain the brisa according to his logical opinion. So he's going to tell you that the inference of the Zvid's brisa is primary, which would show the logic of his opinion, which is that he is accepting. It would be chad l'reisa, and it doesn't have to be totally good wine. Because the Ketani will learn the Rav Zvid's brisa as follows. Martiv shel yain ani moichlach. If someone tells a consumer that a seller of wine, I'm selling you. So Rav Zvid's brisa said, nois no yain shekulo yafa. He has to give him all good wine. Now, v'kimna, we had explained, as we said previously, in the seifa of that brisa, of Zvid's brisa, in the case, the other case over there, when he said zeh, we're not talking about the case of zeh, but in the other case, we explained when he says zeh, the amalei lemikba, we'd explained that Zvid's brisa is talking about when he specified that the wine he's selling him is for cooking purposes, which is high quality wine. Now, by default, that means to say that the case of the reisha, they're all talking about the same type of cases, which are talking about for cooking wine. So therefore, the inference is as follows. Taima, the reason why he has to give him all wine that's high quality is the amalei lemikba, because that's what the case of Zvid's brisa is talking about when he specified it's for cooking wine. Haloi amalei lemikba, but the inference would be, but if he didn't tell him that it's for cooking, that then mekabel, that then he would accept, even though he didn't say the word zeh, that he would accept it, 10 out of the 100 would be souring. Now Rashbam says that, so then why didn't the brisa differentiate in that case itself of when he just sells him an unspecified seller of wine? It should differentiate between if it was for cooking purposes or not, as we see this opinion is inferring that there would be a difference if he doesn't tell him lemikpa. The reason is because it actually wanted to differentiate in a different element, which is intrinsic to the case of the brisa itself, when old cases are talking about. When he said lemikpah, and still there could be differentiations. So that's why it's not difficult to widen the differentiate in a different way, because even in the case of the Braisa itself, it wanted to differentiate when you did say lemikpah, and still there's going to be differences. Again, as we said, when you say zeh, when you don't say zeh, and so on. Now, umandam aloy mekabel, but the other amayra, whether it be Rav Acha or Ravina, who said that, no, in the case that we describe, when he says that martav shayayin ani moichalach, that when he didn't say that it's lemikpah, but neither did he say zeh, that he doesn't accept any bad souring wines, it has to be, all be good. Daik mi brisa diktani. His inference is from the first brisa, specifically from the ratio of that brisa, which taught martav shayayin ani moichalach. When he says a seller of wine, I'm selling you, the brisa said nisim layayin shakuliyaf, has to be all totally good wine. Now, with Kimna, we had explained the middle case of that brisa, the loyomalei lemikpah, where he didn't tell him that it's for cooking purposes. He didn't say that. Now, therefore, by default, we see that the cases of that brisa are talking about when he didn't say, which would even be like in the case of the ratio that we're quoting right over here, even in the case meaning when you don't say zeh, and still you see that he has to give him totally good wine, even though he didn't say lemikpah, which supports his opinion that it always has to be good wine, even though you didn't say lemikpah. But now the Gemara asks, so now each one is difficult the other brisa. Well, the man that daig midrav zvid, according to the first amora, that he was inferring from a zvid's brisa, well, kasha brisa. Now that means the first brisa is difficult because we just showed the inference over there seems to indicate that he is not makabel any 10 souring barrels. So the Gemara says chesuri mechzer b'chaketani. He would explain to you that there are words missing from that first brisa, and this is the way it's supposed to say, and that is qualifying that ratio of that brisa that says it has to be all good wine, that the words have to say. When did we say that? Only when he said that he's selling it to him for cooking purposes. That's like the brisa of Rezvid, which is where this Amar is coming from. That's when it has to be good wine. But then the inference could be, but if he didn't tell him for cooking purposes, then actually he does accept that 10 out of 100 would be souring. And then the next halacha, that brisa then says a different case. Umartiv zeh shel yayin. And this, when he says this seller of wine, v'lo yomalei lemikpah, and he doesn't tell them for cooking purposes, then noisin lo yayin hanimke bechanos, then he could even give him wine that how it is as it's sold in the store. Which, again, is like his opinion. Now, Rashbam also says, why didn't it say over here where all the cases would be talking about the same type of a case of lemikpa, that it's if it's sold for cooking purposes, because this opinion is explaining that no, only the ratio is lemikpa, but the second case is not lemikpa, is because this brisa wanted to explain three halachas that could apply by the sale of wine. And it wants to tell you that sometimes all the wine has to be good. Sometimes he could give him all wine that's bad as it's sold in the store. And sometimes you could even give it to him as if it's totally vinegar. That's why, so it's not a difficulty, so what, one case talking about lemikpah, one case not? Yeah, because I wanted to give you these three different types of cases, but again, that since he amends it, it works out with his opinion too. Now the Gemara asks according to the other Amayra. Uleman de daik me brisa, according to the second Amayra that is medaik from the first brisa, kashad Rav Zvid, well, Rav Zvid's brisa is difficult according to him, because dukim no de'omale lemikpah, again, as we said before, we established that the brisa of Zvid is told me when the guy told him in all the cases, seemingly, that he's selling them for cooking wine purposes. Now, the inference is, holoi omale lemikpah makabo, but if he didn't tell to him, in the case when he says, I'm selling you a seller of wine, without the word zeh, that he is going to be makabel, that 10 of them should be souring. Not like that Amar's opinion that said they all have to be good wine. So that the Gemara says, now, huadin, the truth is that the same thing applies to avagav deloy omalei lemikpah, loy makabel. That even if he doesn't say that it has to be for cooking wine purposes, that when he just says, a seller of wine I'm selling you, that he's not accepting that there should be any wine that's souring. And actually, that the way you read that brisa is of this halacha of Rav Zvid is as follows, that he tells him, Martav shayayin ani moichalach, a seller of wine I'm selling you. So like this Amar is answering, that there's no difference between whether he tells it to him for cooking purposes or he doesn't tell him it's for cooking purposes. The halacha is going to be, as this Amar holds, it has to be all good wine. Now, but that's what the Rav Zvid's brisa continues and says, but if he tells him, Martav zeh shel yayin ani moichalach, that this seller of wine I'm selling you, that's where, as we explained in the brisa of Rav Zvid, that then there's going to be a difference. That there, sometimes he has to give him all wine that's good, but he accepts that 10 out of the 100 could be souring. And that would be, for example, in the case that we explained of Zvid's brisa, if he tells him lemikpah for cooking purposes. But if he doesn't tell him lemikpah, then, as we explained in the first brisa, then he could even give him a wine that's sold in the store. Now, Rashbam also explains over here, now this that it didn't say explicitly in the Brisa of Rezud, this difference of wine that could be sold in the story, only mentions the other one, Lemikpah, is only because he wanted to talk about situations when you have to give wine that's totally good, just again, but there could be exception that 10 out of the 100 barrels could be souring. Now, so if we're explaining that the first halacha, the Brisa of Rezud, could be even talking about when he doesn't say Lemikpah, like this Amayra, so then the Kimna Domela the Mikpah, then why is it that we explain that the Brisa of Zvid is yes only talking about when he tells it to him that it should be for cooking purposes? That's Mishum de Kashi Zeh Zeh. That was only because, as we explained before, because we had a contradiction between the two Brises of Zvid and the first one regarding a case when he says, this seller of wine I'm selling to you. And that is like we just explained. So that's where we have to explain that the Brisa of Zvid that said that it can't be wine, has Nimkum Bechanos, has to be good wine, just 10 out of 100 are going to be souring. That's because he specified Lemikpah. But the Reisha actually could even be talking about when he didn't say Lemikpah, as we explained, and therefore it's not a contradiction on that Amora. Each one is resolved regarding how they would explain the other Brisa, which seems to indicate like one out of the two opinions of these two Amoraim, regarding again, if you use this terminology of Martiv Shalyain, you didn't say Zeh, but neither did you say Lemikpah. Is it going to be Chadil Reisa, Chadil Tivusa, that 10 out of the 100 should be accepted? Or that no, since you didn't use Zeh, even though you didn't say Lemikpah, but you expect high quality wine, all of the wine has to be good. Now, a related discussion, as we were talking about wine that's sold in the store, which is already souring type, Amar Yehuda, he says, Yain Hanimke Bechanus. Wine that's sold in the store, now, as Rashbam explains, it means to say the worst quality wine that's sold in the store. It's really bad. And it's already souring. Mevarchan lo bei pri agofen. Still, Rabbi Yehuda says, the bracha that you make on it is the bracha of that blessed is Hashem who creates the fruits of the vine. And the reason is because it's still considered fruits. In other words, and what he's trying to say is that you don't make a shahakal ni bidvar, which is the generic bracha you make, where on something that it's just whatever it is, as long as you have some pleasure, where because although the Mishnah Brachas teaches that whatever you make a bracha on anything shakal, you have fulfilled your obligation, but the primary bracha on this thing, since it's still a pri, is going to be bari pri agafen. Now, Rav Chizdama, he disagrees. He says, gabi chamer de akrim, regarding wine that has already soured, lamali, why would I go ahead and make a bracha bari pri agafen? Rather, he disagrees and he says, since it's soured, it's not eligible for a bracha bari pri agafen. Rather, you make a shahakal nebidvari, that everything was made with his word. Now, this wine that's sold in the store, Rashbam explains, is talking about inferior wine, which the aroma has already turned vinegary, but the taste is still wine. It still has the taste of wine, as is obvious from the Gemara later on. But since it's inferior, so Rabbi Yehuda holds you still make a bari pri agafen, and Rav Chizda says, no, you make a shahakal. Now, Mesvi, the Gemara from the following Brisa on Rabbi Yehuda. The Brisa says, Alapasha Ipsha, regarding bread that has become moldy, Valayayin Shehikrim, wine that has soured, Valtavshal Shehibra Tsurasa, regarding any dish that has already soured, already gotten moldy, Aymer Shehakal Nebidvari, says the Brisa, you can't make its appropriate bracha. Rather, you make that everything, you make the bracha shehakal, that everything was made with his words, no matter what the thing is. What that's coming to exclude is that on the bread, you're not going to make hamaitzi because it's not bread anymore. It's already turned into something else. And the microbes has already changed it. On regarding wine, you don't make a bari pri agafen. On a cooked dish, if it's, let's say, one of the five types of grains, for example, daisa, which is a type of a porridge, then you don't make a bari min vizaynis. So that's not like a bihuda. Bihuda said that wine that is soured, you make a bari pri agafen, not a shahakal. So that Amar Zvid, he says, no, Maidra Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda agrees, which that's how he's going to explain the case of the Brisa, Befut Sama, which is very inferior wine, which is sold in the stores, the Mizdavin Akarnasa, where actually it's only sold in the corners of the city by the roadways where the road divides, where there's many people that buy, and then not so particular, it's like these street corner vendors, and since it's so inferior, that's the type of wine where, yeah, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree you make a shahakal. But regular, in a regular store, even the inferior wine, Rabbi Yehuda would disagree on Rav Chizda and hold that you do make a bari pri agafen.